Welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now live on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Thanks Donald Kavanagh for the news, the legendary Ivan Borland for the power. Our plus, we have another packed show coming for you this evening, and Joe Dex is producing as ever. How are you, Joe? We are going to be talking soon, later in the show, with Niall Cleary on a very brave performance by our hurlers in the Division 2B semi-final in the park at the weekend. Nine players missing, a few injuries, and the Setanta team had a team holiday. So a very brave performance from Mickey McCann's troops, going down by a single point, and indeed had a late opportunity to equalise the game from distance. So Niall Cleary, former County Star and Setanta player manager, he is coming into the studio later. After that, Maureen O'Donnell will be on to discuss Donegal Ladies after they finished up the league with a 2-8-3-4 victory away to Tipperary. Be good to catch up with Mo as ever. Our under-20s are playing Fermanagh this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in Ballybuffet. Get along and support them as they go for another victory. Just from the weekend there, I was talking, there was a few of the Sister Sarah's crew out in Boston, talking to a few lads out there. Park McLaughlin, ex-Bun Cranham man out there, listens to the show. I want to give you a shout out, Park. Leslie McGilligan in New York was given off because of the bank holiday. I took the bank holiday last week. Sorry about that, Leslie. I have to get an odd wee time off, you know. But we'll be here for the next bank holiday because, of course, Donegal are playing Armagh in the league final up in Croke Park. Looking forward to that and all the other games that's going. Of course, Derry and Dublin as well. We'll be bringing you all the action at the weekend. Earlier on today, I caught up with a former Derry County star to hear his views on the current situation in Derry, and of course, a man that has coached Donegal. We had a great chat earlier today. Here it is. Yes, now, folks, I'm delighted to say Paddy Bradley joins us, Derry legend and a man that has coached club and county underage, and of course, came into your own county to get involved last year, and always great to chat to him. Paddy, how are you?
Not too bad, Brett, and yourself?
But of course, you're juggling. You have a few young bloods coming up as well there. I'd imagine life's all go.
Aye, well, look, I'm still managing the club. Obviously, won the last two intermediates in Derry, and we had a bit of a fight there with the county board. Believe it or not, we're still playing intermediate football for the third year in a row. We thought we had had made our moves to get the thing changed. Unfortunately, it didn't work. But look, it is what it is. We'll just have to try and go out and win it for a third time in a row. And then I took on the job of the under-16 manager in the club too. Aye, so it's busy. And as you say, I have four young boys of my own now, and they're involved from under-16 right down to under-8. So aye, busy house and not much free time. But look, keeps you busy, keeps the mind active, and really, really enjoying it. Looking forward to the matches starting.
I'd imagine there's a lot of Glen Allnays on them young Bradley boys, because they're running like the dad and the uncle in particular. I'll tell you what, they'll take a bit of stabbing. Paddy, you just mentioned there, when I seen you as an intermediate even last year, I was kind of scratching my head, but you're saying it's a third year. What's been the issue?
Look, they set about maybe a couple of years ago in Derry, Brenton, to do a bit of restructuring. I think it was always a 16 team league, senior league, maybe 12 intermediate, maybe 9, something to that effect. To try to sort of balance that out, there's this idea to try and make our intermediate and junior representatives in Ulster that wee bit stronger, try to get it to shut more like 3-12s. But just with the nature of the way clubs are in Derry, the 16-team league always suits. And the fact that your county players aren't available anymore to play in league football, there was always, obviously, even whenever I was back playing with Derry, there was always that pressure on county players to go and play for their club because of relegation and the importance of the league's held back then. So I suppose they wanted to change it. I don't think it's worked. The likes of Ballinderry, for example, and Corian are down to play intermediate championship this year while they play in the senior league. And then the likes of Lavey are down. They're playing senior championship, but they're playing intermediate league.
Yeah.
I'm a great believer that you should always be playing in the same league and championship. I think, you know, there was a number of years ago, Glenallen were relegated to intermediate for 1 year. We decided to opt in to play the senior championship, but you know, we hadn't got the proper preparation. That was actually a mistake on our part. So we have first-hand, I suppose, experience of knowing that if you're not playing the same league that you play in the championship, it's not going to serve you any favours. So we felt having won the last two intermediate championships, even though they were trying to restructure and change, we'd done enough to prove, I suppose, we were good enough to play in senior league and senior championship, and we thought they were going to change it. But look, it was sort of vetoed by the county board at the last minute. There's actually another meeting tonight about it, but it looks as if we're going to be playing intermediate league and championship this year, which is disappointing because we've took our medicine in the fact we were relegated a number of years ago and we've had to go down and I suppose rethink about our structures, our coaching and, you know, what we're doing in the club. But we are bringing through lots of good young players. We won the under-17A league last year for the first time in our history. I've introduced we still have Alexa Bowen playing at 41 years of age and Ewan McCain and John McCain, you know, in their late 30s, but we have introduced a lot of young players into the senior team, and I think even the team last year that won the championship was a lot better than the team that won it the previous year, and I'm really looking forward to this year. But look, we're just going to have to try and win it for a third time, Divi, and prove that we're enough to play at that level.
Yeah, listen, very funny, I met Brendan McGuire there, the Labby man, so you just mentioned there, because I knew they were in the senior championship, but when they informed me about the league, I was scratching my head on that one, Paddy. Listen, I totally agree with you on the league and championships in terms of clubs like that. And I suppose, Paddy, in many ways, it's maybe unfair in some of the teams in the intermediate with yous being, you know, you should be at senior level at this point, and there you are back in that competition. I suppose it's tough on them as well. They have such a side like yous in there, especially the experience you've got the last few years. But listen, Paddy, you only won what you're in, I suppose. That's the main thing. But I was just looking there. It's just about 6 or 7 days ago, it was a year ago, that Paddy Carr stepped down, and we had that game against Roscommon, and yourself and Aidan, you know, stepped up and took the team. But I suppose from looking outside now, assessing about that time, you know, there was so much drama happened in Donegal, and I've said it countless times, even this morning, about the job that you and Aidan did do then to turn the corner. But what was it like at that time, Paddy, in the middle of all that turmoil, and was there a thought in your mind that, listen, this is too much for us to take on?
Look, I've said lots of times to different people since that there's no such thing as a bad experience to me in managing or coaching. You know, you learn a lot from the different situations you find yourself in. And there was a lot of turmoil there. Probably, truth be told, Breton, whenever I agreed to go down to Donegal, I probably didn't know the different issues that existed within the county. Had I have known maybe some of the stuff that was going on in the background, I probably would have had to think a bit harder and longer about whether or not I want to get involved. But as I say, there's no such thing as a bad experience. I was lucky enough for that year to work with some really, really highly talented and motivated players. And look, we didn't achieve what we wanted to achieve. Again, it's been well documented the different reasons for that, and there's a number of factors you could blame. Obviously, it was disappointing, sort of the way things panned out for Paddy. Paddy's a gentleman. I had a great time for the man, but the players sort of made a stance that they wanted myself and Aidan to, I suppose, take over the mantle after Paddy left, and we were more than happy to do so because we felt we could turn a corner, and I felt we did, and a small bit we were gained a wee bit of pride in the jersey, but I felt ultimately last year one of the biggest factors, I suppose, that contributed to maybe Donegal not achieving what they could achieve was the injury list, you know. So many key men out, and obviously they're down a different division this year. The level is obviously a bit less, the standards maybe that wee bit lower, but you could see, and obviously Jim was going to come in, and he was always going to get that lift from having been there before. But you can see the impact that, you know, having all them key men, or most of them key men back, is having. They're, you know, getting a good run of games. The likes of Farah, for example, who I think is as good a forward as there is in the country. We had him last year and he played most of our games, but he was still only coming back from injury. He has benefited this year, I suppose, from having a full year's football and then a full pre-season, and I think he's only going to go from strength to strength. I know Paddy got off the weekend there, but, you know, we obviously missed Paddy, who was the leader of the team last year for a significant amount of the game, and the likes of Michael Langan and Jason McGeehan, these boys didn't play much football last year, which obviously ultimately was going to affect the team. But no, look, as I say, there's no such thing as a bad experience. Really, really enjoyed my time down there, even though there was a lot of stuff going on in the background. I'm just delighted to see the team going well again, because there's plenty of good lads and there's a pile of talent there, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how them and Derry do in the first round of the championship.
And Paddy, just at that period that you came in, I know there was a training camp put together. The hopes for Donegal getting into the championship were very slim, but you did manage to turn it round. You know, you mentioned those players that weren't available, and as well as that, you know, you'd like Ryan McHugh, the two O'Donnells, the different guys that get so many hurdles in there. And as you said, it's very interesting. You said there's no bad experience, and fair play to you, because it took some effort to turn that around, really. But we came into the championship and you could see the change in the team in that short period of time, in terms of, you know, you'd galvanised, you know, what was there, and you'd made the best of it. And of course, you know, particularly I think, you know, the highlight was the one against Monaghan in Oma that night. You know, Monaghan very nearly made an All-Ireland final. You know, they were well acquitted in the semi. So, you know, the Derry game, we were well in it for, you know, 40-odd minutes before, you know, we conceded a couple of goals and Derry pulled away. So, but it was a brilliant body of work for you and Aidan to have done. And pulling it together, really, did you get the sense from the group that, I suppose, did we hit rock bottom after that Roscommon game? And did you just strip it back and start to build it from there?
Aye, probably. Look, we just hadn't performed as well as we'd like in the league. We obviously had the high of beating Kerry in the first game, and there was a real good feel-good factor within the county, but results just didn't go our way. And I say we were missing key players. You mentioned obviously another couple of men, the Donalds, and you see Shane back playing this year. We sort of knew he was going to go travel, which was a blow even before we started. And obviously Michael had just retired. Ryan then had left for his own work commitments and whatnot. But aye, look, we get a good body of work down in the Curtin House. I know a lot of people within the county and beyond were critical of spending that amount of money, but look, that's just the nature of what teams do now. You know, they are all going in these training camps and whatnot. We did get a good body of work done. Probably it was a wee bit too late for the Down game. Now I must say it was a really, really disappointing going up to Newry that day and not getting a result, because as bad as the place we were at, still felt we were good enough to get over that hurdle, but we didn't. And look, we regrouped. We done plenty of good work between the Ulster Championship and the All Ireland series. And look, to get down to Clare, who were, you know, were going rightly, and get a result down there, really give the team a lift. And then obviously with a really, really good result against Monaghan and Oman, we went into that Derry game really believing that we could win that game. And for maybe, as you say, 45-50 minutes, we played really, really well. Gave them plenty of baller, missed a few easy scoring chances in the first half, and that game could have been a lot closer going down the stretch. So I think the players took confidence from that, and again, all credit to the players. They're an experienced bunch of players. They knew they hadn't performed to the level that they were expected to perform, but they're proud men. And like anybody goes out to wear their county jersey, regardless what county you're from, you know, you want to do the best for, you know, you're representing your club and the people of your county. And you know, that was them that turned the corner, really. You know, the leaders within that group. And look, really, really disappointing that night against Tyrone, because again, Tyrone coming to Ballybuffet, you think, you know, you can turn them over, but we just didn't perform, you know. And that's the reality. Probably myself and Aidan having chatted about it after the event, maybe got a few things wrong in terms of our matchups, but you live and learn, you know, and yeah. Disappointing. But look, fair play to the lads, they've regrouped again. Obviously, Jim's come in, there's that sense of expectation and that buzz and around the county again. And look, they've been down in Division 2, as I say, where the quality's maybe that wee bit lower. They've got a good run of games into men. He's using his panel well. And if they, you know, avoid, I know they picked up a few injuries, Ryan and Paddy, at the weekend, as I said, and if they can get everybody a clean bill of health, they'll go to Celtic Park and they'll not fear Derry. That's one thing for sure.
Yeah. Paddy, very interesting. Of course, great points as ever. Paddy, just last point on last year, if they asked you, the change from the Down game in the Clare, the second half against Clare, I think in particular, was there a moment, or was it the training you're doing was taking a while to click in, or the belief you're putting in? What would you put down to that performance up in Park Esler versus the other championship games?
I know, I just think it's the body of work you do it in, you know. Look, you know, that's one thing I will say. Any time we went to Convoy to train, you know, the boys didn't come with their heads on the floor. The boys came and worked hard really every night and listened to what myself and Aidan were trying to implement. And look, as I say, proud men, wanted to do the best for their county, wanted to turn the corner and got a wee bit of luck down in Clare, because I think maybe early doors they missed a goal chance or two. We could have had a goal or two, and maybe we, you know, that was the luck we maybe didn't have earlier on the season, you know. You ride your luck and you know, but be working hard and doing that, you do get the breaks. And I think we got maybe a few breaks down in Clare, and from there, I'd say the confidence started to grow, and obviously, as I say, produced a really, really good performance that night against Monaghan. And look, and it's fine margins. Like Monaghan went the whole way to an All Ireland semi final, and you know, with 10 minutes to go, we're right in the game with Dublin. So, and that was a team that that Donegal had beat only a few short weeks earlier. So, that's the fine margins that there are in sport. And as I say, you know, fair play to them for regrouping and turning that bit of a corner. But no, you better pride back into the jersey after what was a traumatic season.
Yes, indeed, indeed, Paddy. It was a dramatic season, surely. Hey, and listen, it's funny how it all can change. But I say the work that you and Aidan put in was integral to that turn, Paddy. Surely, fair play to you. Paddy, obviously, Donegal and Derry, there's the whole spotlight of the championship at the start as everybody's looking to this game in Celtic Park. We're always interested in what happens in Derry regardless. You know, the tale and the story they've been on from Division 4 to the best team in Ulster currently and knocking on the door of an All-Ireland has been unbelievable, Paddy. And it's amazing how that story has gone from rock bottom to the top. Just from the weekend there, Paddy, we had quite a few games that were a bit dull in that and, you know, not really just went with the script in terms of your game with Roscommon. Was there anything to be read in it? Did the game Derry posting a healthy 2.19?
Look, I wasn't at the game, I must admit. The fact it was I was at quite a few of the Derry games throughout the league this year. I didn't go to this game because I always felt Derry were going to win, and I knew they were probably going to experiment, in fairness to Mickey and Gavin. They have used the league as an opportunity to try and introduce a few new players, and that's, I suppose, going to be one of the positives that Derry will take from this league. They now seem to be building a bit of a panel. The likes of Lachlan Murray, obviously, shot the lights out yesterday. He's a player that I know really well, having coached him at the under 20s. He's had bad luck with injuries. He never seems to be fit to get a run of games. But he's got the last two or three games, and I think he rewarded the management team yesterday with his performance. You know, it's been well documented that Shane McGuigan obviously carries the bulk of the scoring threat, but about every day that Shane's maybe closed down, I say, not having watched the game. I know yesterday, for example, he might have had a bit of an off day. I was reading he was marking the likes of Brian Stack, who I know is a very, very competent defender, and it's good to see the likes of Lachlan stepping up. Cormac Murphy obviously was another one. Like, we're talking about forwards. Cormac Murphy was another one who, again, his progress has been hampered a bit by injuries, but he has shown glimpses that he can make it at this level. The one thing that I think Derry have in abundance, Britton, and you'll know this, is the players all over the field who really go at you, who really take men on. And the two men I mentioned, you know, you add them to the likes of your Ethan Doherty's, to your Conor Doherty coming from half-back, Brenton Rogers, Conor Glass from midfield. Derry have serious running power, both in around the middle late, and then the men that can take men on inside. So, look, it's very, very encouraging league campaign for Derry. It'll be interesting to see next week how that game goes. Probably knew that night they played Dublin that, and the league a few weeks ago, that they were going to be playing them again in the league final. My sense is that they're going to go down and treat the game as a marker as to where they are. Dublin obviously have started the league really, really slowly, but have really shot the lights out in the last number of weeks. They are the form team in the country, along with Derry. And that, you know, looks as if it's going to be a cracker game next weekend, which I'm sure is going to be nearly a packed Crook Park, because I'd imagine Armagh and Donegal will bring decent support with them too.
Yeah, set up for a cracker. Interesting points there, Paddy. And you're right, the likes of Murray hitting 1-4 there and Ethan Doherty 4 points. Interesting stuff, because I think McGuigan, no more than you were inside there, Paddy, on his day, he's unmarkable. You know, McInnes is back from injury. The Derry squad's looking very healthy. McFaul, Paddy, still, he's kind of doing the job in there. I think there's a lot more to come from him. Or what's your feeling on McFaul?
100%. Now, by all accounts, he came on really yesterday and controlled the game in the second half, and he has that potential from either 6 or 11 to pull strings and control the game. He obviously somebody that is a bit of a scoring threat too, like a great man to kick a point or two from in around that 35-40 yards. So that'll be the one thing, as I say, that pleased Derry yesterday was the spread of scores whenever Shane was shut down. I felt last year, Brenton McCall, who I rate really, really highly, done a very, very good job in Shane and Ballybuffet, and I'm sure he's been earmarked again by Jim and his team to mark Shane. So if that's the case, you know, Derry are going to need other threats. And as I say, the positive thing for Derry throughout this league campaign has been their scoring average and the fact that others are contributing. But it's not just attacking-wise. Like, you know, the likes of Chrissy obviously is now getting on 33, 4 years of legs and dirt age. The likes of Dermot Baker has come in there at cornerback, who I didn't know a lot about. And you see his name being named in the McKenna Cup, and you're thinking this lad's getting a chance. Not really expecting him to nail down a starting spot, but he has proved undroppable at the minute. You know, really, really good player. So it's positive in the fact that Derry do seem to be building the panel and bringing men on in the forward line and defence that seem to be fairly cover positions and do jobs.
Yeah. And Division 2 for us, Paddy, I suppose it's been strange. I thought Division 2 was getting a bit more competitive when we went down, you know, but having seen it, you know, there's a big drop off. And you see probably Roscommon there, that's their fourth time going up and going back down again in the last 10 years or whatever. The top teams probably tend to be in around it, and you see there Donegal and Armagh going down, going back up with very little fuss, to be honest. I think Donegal mixed the good with the bad probably in this league campaign, but when they've opened up against teams, they have put teams away. They probably should have beat Armagh up there, and I think without even playing that well. Then you've seen Armagh shoot the lights out in a couple of games since. So it's set for a good one. Paddy, you read Donegal about 6 or 7 injuries. I just wonder, Paddy, you know, if all those lads don't play against Armagh, it's hard to see them being ready to take the field against Derry and Celtic Park. And if they don't, you know, it's a huge waiver team out. Derry look like they could have a full clean bill of health going into that game.
Aye, look, I listened to a clip Jim had with, was it Ashley Riley and off the ball yesterday. He was interviewed after the match and he talked about the nature of the way the season's set up, and I 100% agree with him, is that managers are in tenderhooks because there is no space between the league and championship to get injuries cleared up. You know, in one sense, we talked about Donegal and how positive it is to see the likes of Farah getting a full, you know, league campaign under his belt. Patrick Mogan's come back in there, Shane O'Donnell's back. But then you have the flip side of that is that Paddy and Ryan are injured the weekend. How serious is that? Are they going to be available for the Derry game? Jason McGee has played little or no football at all. Again, what's the story with him? Is he going to be available? Because to me, he's a key player.
He's close.
He's what? Sorry, Brenton.
He is pretty close, Paddy. Yeah, Jason.
Pretty close. Aye. So, look, injuries are going to play a part. You say about, you know, if they don't play against Armagh, will they be available for Derry? Well, the flip side of that again, Brenton, is maybe you don't rest them against Armagh to make sure they are available, you know. So yeah, only Jim and his management team will know, you know, the lie of the land with injuries. You would suspect, but, you know, Donegal need all them boys available to go into Celtic Park, where Derry have a really, really good record in the last number of years, to try and turn them over. Derry have been very, very lucky, it must be said, in the last 3 or 4 years with injuries. Like, none of their key men rarely are out. Like, you get back in the last 3-4 years, Conor Glass, you know, has barely missed a game, barring, you know, being rested. Shane McGuigan, never injured. Bretton Rogers, never injured. They've had an injury out over Conor Doherty. Again, there was question marks about how serious his knee injury was, but he took the field yesterday. The likes of Paddy McGrogan was rested yesterday. So the thing about Derry is they've been fit to rest because they are playing so well, and because they got off to such a good start in the league, it has allowed Mickey and Gavin the opportunity to rest these boys. I think there's a doubt around Gareth McInnes. The chat is he could have a broken nose. I suppose it's one of them things he probably could play with a bit of a mask on, but he would be a key player for Derry as well. So injuries are going to play a part over the next few weeks, and whilst Derry and Armagh will want to go to Croke Park and maybe use their, or Derry and Donegal want to go to Croke Park and use their two games as good markers to see where really they are, at the same time, in the back of the head, you've got to think, they've got to be thinking toward the championship and getting injuries cleared up too.
Yeah. And Paddy, just on that, obviously, you know, you're looking at Derry back-to-back Ulster. It's all about an All-Ireland, you know, fair enough. If you picked up an All-Ulster, that would be good. In many ways, you know, would the route of, let's say, you happen to lose to Donegal, would you think, as from your manager perspective, you could have gone to the group stage a lot fresher? Would that help your tilt in All Ireland ultimately?
Well, look, I think ultimately Mickey Hart is the sort of man we know always sets out to win a ring he's entered into. I think they'll obviously want to keep momentum. They want to beat Donegal. They'll not want to lose at home. They want to hang on to their Ulster title. But yeah, you're right. If they were to lose either to Donegal or an Ulster semi-final, would it really be a bad thing? Probably not. Okay, they could take a few weeks, regroup, and make a serious tilt when it comes to the All-Ireland group stages. Like, that is where Derry are at in terms of, that's the ambition. Players all throughout the league campaign and in the interviews I've listened to, they've talked about the fact they want to be All-Ireland contenders, they want to play at the latter stages of the Championship. They've been beaten now in two All-Ireland semi-finals. The next step for them is trying to get to an All-Ireland final and trying to win Sam. But look, I think personally, Dublin are a fair bit out in front, and it would take Dublin to have a really bad day for anybody to turn them over at the minute. But look, that's for further down the line, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. I was just laughing, Paddy, the way when Dublin weren't going well, Desi Farrell was getting all the grief. And when they are going well now, there's not a word about Desi Farrell. It's about the players, there's different teams. Paddy, just last question to you, and listen, thanks again so much for taking the time there to talk to us. Paddy, last question just on Hart and Devlin. The Walla Ferrar, when they come on, has Hart got the Derry passport now? Has he been accepted across the county? Because, it was such an unusual coming into the job, and you had a few goes at him from different people, namely of course the shot from Brawley and that, which I thought was out of order. But what's the feeling now? Is it basically he's doing a job and doing a good job and get on with it?
Look, there's mixed opinions. There's always going to be. From a personal point of view, I still find it strange to see him along a line with a Derry fractured and a Derry hat on him. I was one of the players that played in that year where he managed against us. We were brought up to hate Tyrone. That was just the way of it. So it's strange to see, Mickey Hart, who's such a Tyrone figurehead, stand in a Derry dugout. Yeah. But look, the players, just the nature of the way players are and how professional they be about things, they're just focused on playing football, winning matches and trying to win cups and trophies. So the as long as the team's doing well, you're not going to hear too many people criticising. Look, again, it'll be judged not on a league campaign, it'll be judged on how Derry do in the Championship. If Derry don't happen to, reach the targets that they've set for themselves in terms of retaining an Ulster title or getting at least to an All-Ireland semi-final, which they did in the last couple of years, you can imagine the knives will be out for them, That's just the nature of football. It's a sport, it's a results business. It was obviously a big risk by the Derry County Board to appoint him, and a few months' time, we'll find out whether or not they've got that right or not.
Yeah, yes, indeed, Paddy. We really look forward to it. There's a fascinating Ulster Championship coming in down the track, Celtic Park. Hey, myself and yourself will be sitting maybe not too far away for that one. Paddy, be good to catch up with you, and we hope may the best team win, as the man says.
No bother, Breton. I'm really looking forward to it. As I say, the leagues are for playing in. That was the way I was brought up, and obviously Championship's what it's all about, so... the real games begin now in a couple of weeks' time.
Yeah, 100%. Paddy, listen, first class, I'll catch up with you then, man. And thanks again for joining us this evening. Yes, that's our Paddy. Hey, hating the poor Tyrone, man. We don't hate Tyrone, they're nice. Hey, but Niall Cleary's in studio here now. You don't hate Tyrone, do you?
No, I don't
hate Tyrone. Sorry, Niall. I need to give you a bit of mic to answer that. Of course you don't hate Tyrone, man.
No, definitely don't. No reason to have it.
We have no reason. We can sort the Tyrone man out. I know. Niall's going to give us a lowdown on the county hurling scene at the minute after this break. Yes, folks, welcome back again. I say Niall Cleary has joined us in studio to talk small ball. Niall, considering the backstory of this league semi-final, Satanta Holiday, the likes of McDermott, Danny Cullen, these guys out injured, how proud are you with the performance that Donegal gave against Tyrone Saturday at the park?
Yeah, very proud, Brendan. I think they'll be delighted, to be down so many, and not just so many in numbers, but so many experienced players would have kind of carried the can for Donegal for years there, for the younger lads to come in and step up and kind of make it their team as such for much of the league. It was a really big plus for Mickey, and bodes well for Championship that there'll be savage competition for places now. But yeah, they'll probably be coming away from it disappointed not getting to the league final. Had their chances near the end, and it could have been there. But overall, they'll be delighted with how the league went, I think.
Yeah, it looked quite at that late opportunity. That would have sent it to extra time.
Yeah, that would have sent it extra time, I think. He was like, it was a hard one. It was over near the sideline,
and
it was 75, 80 metres. And then you're kind of, you have the wind and everything to account for as well. He's a great striker of a ball, and he could have done it, but it was disappointing. But I think there was chances before that they could have maybe taken as well. They had more wides in the second half there, and they could have kept the momentum going there at a point. They might have got over the line in the end, but...
Yeah, 3-14 to 5-9. When you look at the score, if we had a score to 5-9, you thought maybe we got lucky a few goals and we hung in there. But we were doing the hair amount of scores, 17 scores to 14.
I think kind of tells a little bit of story. I think Donegal probably did shade it overall on the hurling. Like, even the Donegal goals, I think, were kind of worked well. Tyrone were probably naive tactically, the middle was very open there, but the Tyrone goals, I think Donegal will be really, I know Mickey definitely will be really disappointed with those. You know, the first one turned over in the middle of the field, a couple of defensive errors kind of for a couple there, and then Luke with an uncharacteristic mistake as well. You know, when you're giving away five goals, I know there'll be a lot of video work done on that during the week.
Because you've got obviously with the drop in Oma a few weeks back, but then you know, the London, the two performances of London against Tyrone and London against us looked like certainly we were going to be the better side as the season went on, you know, particularly at home. Like, you would think if we had our full side there at the weekend, we'd definitely, listen, I know not definitely, but we certainly, if you look at it, trying to read those last couple of matches, we look like we're maybe in a better place than Tyrone.
Yeah, I think so. And it's strange because Tyrone will be up in the Christy Ring this year and Donegal will be in the Nicky Rackard. But personally, I would feel probably Donegal are definitely on a par, maybe a step ahead overall. I think the league has been good to Donegal, bringing on new players. And yeah, definitely, I thought they'd perform. Like, that's a big thing about Mickey's kind of reign, I suppose, is that they've consistency throughout their performances. Even when they're down players, somebody else comes in, does the job, and they're competitive in nearly every game. Like, you know, even the Derry game there, where it could have got away from them, down inexperienced players hung in there. On Saturday, they're down a pile of players. You know, you could easily say, oh, feck it, sure, look, we're down this many, we'll throw in the towel. But kept at it and kept at it. So definitely, I think it's in a really good place at the moment. And good young players coming through. Kieran Curran there from Burt got a full league under his belt. Peter Kelly from St Union's, you know, 2-2 at the weekend. He's just out of minor, I think. I actually taught Peter when he's in fifth class. That's how young he is. Yes. So, you know, if he's doing that when he's 17, 18... It'll be really interesting to see how his career progresses.
Yeah, and listen, it was a harsh day. Like, we were down at the park. Now, you were just mentioning me about the cold hand that can affect the ball handling.
It was a funny old game, wasn't it? Like, there was a lot of kind of, I felt anyway, there was a lot of mistakes and handling errors, hand passes, balls being dropped. And, you know, it probably was very cold down on the pitch, and I was just listening to Radio 1 on the way home, the Limerick match that evening, and they were kind of saying similar. So it could be put down to that, you know, that the weather, it can be very cold on the hands. I don't know if there's any way to counteract that or what the boys do at half time, but yeah, definitely could have affected the quality of the game, I think.
Yeah. By the time we left the park, I'll tell you what, the shivers was on me. Niall, the way the league now has changed, three teams are going up. Is every league doing the same? Is every side of the league doing that?
There's a similar, they're similar. So it goes, there's still going to be a 1A and a 1B. And that's made up of the teams who are already in 1A and 1B, I think. But it's more streamlined or something. And then you have Division 2 on its own. So you'll have Donegal, Tyrone and Derry are going up. Yeah. And then you'll have, as far as I know anyway, you'll have Meath, Kildare, Down and Kerry. Yes. So, like, you can't underestimate the benefit of playing teams that are better than you. Being exposed to that faster hurling, that, you know, more skillful, stronger teams. Everything has to improve. And that's probably what Donegal want, and you want to see that progression, because you don't want to be a team bouncing up a division, back down the next year, up winning Nicky Rackard, back down. You want to be seeing that progression, and they have a chance now to do it, and yeah, it'll be an exciting year next year. Tough, challenging, but exciting at the same time.
And from your time playing, Niall, the evolution of that from a time when 2B was maybe a wee bit of a step too far, how has Donegal progressed so much compared with teams around them? You know, everybody wants to progress, but it looks like our progression is moving at a quicker pace than a lot of sides around us.
Yeah, when I came up first, it was 3A anyway we were in. We won that, I think, in 2017. So, like anything, Brendan, there's probably a pile of things coming together at the right time. There was a good core group of lads there. Lee Henderson, Kieran Matheson, Joe Boyle, Sean McVeigh, Danny Cullen, Kevin Campbell, they were all there. Then you had an influx of a few boys from outside. You know, Declan Coulter joined from Armagh. You'd Luke White coming in from Wexford, Davin Flynn from Tipperary, Michael Donoghue from Galway. I think that probably drove up the standards. That's another element. And then Mickey coming in was probably a big thing. The improvement in the setup, just more professional, higher expectations, holding you to a higher standard. Like, when I came in first, I'd say maybe 50% of the panel would have committed to the S&C or the gym or stuff like that. You know, the county board was scratching their heads, giving boys memberships in the Aura. And or I tell them at the end of the year it was used 10 times, you know, this kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas now 90-95% of the players are bought into it, like, and it has to be that way. Yeah. So that's probably why, like, a combination of those things. And then the work in the clubs. Like, you can see 8 senior clubs, every club represented. Definitely a lot of work going on. And
yeah, listen, like anything though, you could see the obviously the skill level in hurling, number one, but unless you have the power now, you know, we've seen that, we've seen that right across the board. You know, I see it there, even with St. Junan's now, you know, the detail and the amount of backup to all the procedure, even say from my time, even the last time I was involved, coaching. So the county thing now is going up and up. As you said, there's probably is a bit of a thing, you know, the experienced players then pushing down on the lads. This is the way it has to be. And then either you're in or you're not. I suppose if it's that level, when if it's kind of left up to you, certain lads don't really have it in them to go and push it. Whereas once the group has that collective there, you can really start to go after things. If Mickey's going to progress, as you said, it's all right having skill and half decent players or good players. Everybody has to be at least the fitness level of the teams around you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's a big thing because, you know, if you see when they go up next year, I'd say these boys, whenever the Nicky Racket finishes, they won't get much of an off season because they'll have to be, you know, pushed on another level to get to the level of, I've seen, you know, Leash and Down. You can see there's still a slight difference maybe if you go up to Down and Kildare in conditioning. So, and that'll be another step that on the ladder that they'll have to achieve. But it's kind of normal now for young lads coming in, like Conor Gartland or Liam McKinney or Stephen McBride, them young lads, they're looking up to the other lads and they're all doing it. So it's become normalised now. And then I think it's probably happening underage now as well, where, you know, you've good management teams with the under-17s, the under-20s, the under-15s, and they're getting exposed to that kind of high-performance thing, which is great to see as well, that the hurlers are getting it as well, and they're committed to it themselves as well. So, yeah, definitely very important. Like, the skills in hurling is always going to be number one, but you still have to be able to keep up with your opponent and you have to be able to compete physically as well.
The world will have to be open 24 hours a day now for these boys. Are you saying, Neil, it's a big thing from the better teams, the conditioning? Isn't it just teams maybe technically, you know, good players, skillful players, obviously, if they're a league up? But would you notice the condition as in the players are physically more developed, is it, or faster, stronger, a bit of both?
Yeah, I think you can see it, like when Donegal go to play Down, say a full Down team, or if we went to play Kildare over the years, sometimes like you might, we would probably pride ourselves on having good hurlers and that would be our strength, but you kind of come away thinking, Jesus, they're in serious shape, you know, they've had 6-7 years of the gym like behind them, and you definitely can see slight differences. But I think Donegal has come on a long way, and I think at the weekend I thought in the first half Donegal looked really fit, like against that wind, looked really well conditioned, were able to carry the ball, you know, against the wind and get themselves on the front foot. So I think they are, and I know they have a really good S&C coach in there, Shane, for the last few years, which helps having the same fella, bit of continuity and stuff.
Yeah, listen, it's very important. How much do you think then the missing another game against Derry, which is kind of a good barometer of getting into that league, is it something that that we needed, or is it not that big of a deal? Maybe pick up a couple of injuries going into the Nicky record.
I think ideally, yeah, they would have liked to have another game, because it's another game, especially for those younger lads, less experienced lads, and maybe a couple of lads coming back from injury. But also, I'm not sure when the first round of the Nicky record is, but I think it's pretty soon. So I don't think they'll be too disappointed either. You know, the promotion is such a big thing up to division, so overall they'll be delighted with that.
Yeah, April 13th, Armagh, what would you make of me? I mean, is it a question of us maybe playing Derry that Armagh is going to be trying to get up to your level?
Well, that's it. Like, traditionally Armagh would have, I suppose, always been better than Donegal up to the last 5 or 6 years, so they'll definitely there'll still be an element of that in their mindset that they won't want to lose to a Donegal team, and it'll be it's easy to be the underdog going into games, isn't it? You know yourself, there's no pressure on you, whereas when you're the favourite, you're carrying the favourites tag now, carries a little bit of different pressure. So, but I would see, yeah, I think Donegal probably will be looking at that and hoping to get off the Nicky Racket with a win.
Yeah, perfect. And tell me, were you on this holiday, were you?
No, I wasn't on the holiday. No, I'm the sensible one. You have to kind of keep your distance a little bit. But no, it was, I'm told it was a good warm weather training camp over there. I don't know what they were training for, but
the training camp's in inverted brackets, I think, there. Listen, what a season for the club, and well deserved. And
look, it's well and truly over and done with now. Parked. Yeah. It's in the rear view mirror, and we were back at it last
week. That's fighting talk. No, watch out, it, everybody. We'll continue this conversation when the club kicks in. And Niall, for now, hey, thanks so much for wrapping up the hurling
100%. Thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it. We'll be back with Maureen O'Donnell after this break. Yes, folks, welcome back. I'm delighted to see I'm now joined by former county star And Highland Radio, top pundit, the woman knows it all. It's Moira
Dunn. Don't know about that.
I can see you, Mo. You can't see me. I've seen you shaking your head and laughing. Listen, you do. Listen, we trust you a lot, Mo. Don't worry about that. Mo, tell me.
I think so.
Can you give us an overview of the league for this and finished on a good note away to Tipperary? A good victory for our women's team. What did you make of the league and John McNulty's first shot at it?
Listen, you know, it's like you said, it was a nice way to end, wasn't it? Especially with such a long journey down to Tipperary, you know, gives them a bit of hope going forward. And it's a long wait now to the next game. But wrapping up the league, look, I think it is where it is. And, you know, if I was looking at the team from last year going in now this year, and I would have thought, I would have expected maybe, you know, that with you losing so many experienced players and trying to regroup and transition, you know, that it was going to be difficult. And I mean, maybe the shot of getting into Division One was maybe above expectations. And to be honest, I think they are where they are, and it's a good place to be. And Division Two, I mean, they performed all right considering throughout. What was it? I mean, they lost, and John McNulty said this himself, they lost to Kildare and they lost to Tyrone. And both those teams now are in the Division 2 final, Brendan, in April now. So I think it's in a couple of weeks' time. And like, when you lost out to them two top teams, look, they lost two, drew one. I felt those were three games that Donegal definitely could have won, maybe had they a bit more firepower up front. But, you know, look, wrapping up the league, and they finished third overall, and that one against Tipperary yesterday, where, you know, Donegal weren't ahead maybe until maybe 6 minutes left to the end of the game. Like, so it was a real battle and the real grit of the Donegal side that you know, you're used to seeing. And it was great to come away just with a 1 point victory. Look, but it could have been different. I've said it all year, Claire Frail has been phenomenal in nets. She saved them a 1v1 at the last couple of minutes. And what was a one-point victory could have easily been a two-point defeat as well. But it's really, really good. And look, I think it's a good place to be, Brendan. They're in Division 2, it is hard to get out of, but I don't think they're ready just yet to go up to Division 1. So, you know, another year or two in Division 2, it'll really, really tell. Like, if you look at Armagh, they've gone up to Division 1. They top Division 1 football now. They're in the league final against Kerry in a couple of weeks as well. And they have been in Division 2 for a long time, Brendan, so it's not going to do Donegal any harm. It's been a good campaign, I think, throughout for them.
Yeah, that's always interesting because you always want to go up. But then, as you're saying there, you know, if you end up a wee bit too early, it could hamper you in terms of, if you took a couple of beatings, it could knock you back, particularly if you're developing a new team.
Yeah, like if I had to say that Armagh would have went up a couple of years ago, I don't think they were ready to go up. They have really been battling really hard in Division 2, and like just last year won the Division 2 final, up to Division 2 1 as I say this year, but they've been really putting in the work, building a solid side. And you know, of course everyone will say Amy Macken carries the side there, but Carolina Hanlon's in there as well. She's a really experienced player, and you know, McConville, and they're players that have been there for years, experience behind them. They've worked this new group of young players into the mix, and now they're competing against the Dublins and the Kerrys and the Galways up there in Division 1, and that's come from playing really tough football in Division 2, Brendan. So, like, in terms of, are you ready? Everybody wants to go to Division 1, but is Donegal ready for Division 1 just yet? You know, I've often said it to Niamh McLaughlin in interviews, and I said it to John McNulty, would you be ready to go maybe, you know, up to Division 1? And listen, it's lovely to get a day out in Croke Park in Division 2 final at the end of the year, you know, but with two teams going up this year, there's, you know, so the two teams in the final would go up. And it's like I say, I just think maybe another couple of years or a year or two in Division 2 is definitely going to do this Donegal team a lot. So, you know, listen, finishing third in it, they're nowhere near relegation to Division 3, so that's very, very promising. Finishing third under the two leaders, I think that's good too, you know. Yeah. I would be happy with that.
Stable, I think that seems smart enough in terms of how this has to play out. Well, tell me, the development of these players, you know, our minors had a great victory last week there, 3-15-2-6 against Tyrone. You know, we've talked about the underage, as Declan McDermott said. You know, that's a brilliant victory, high scoring as well. Is the development coming from underage? Is it coming from our clubs, or is it coming from them getting into the county squad and then being developed on? Where does it, or is it a mixture of it all?
Yeah, I think it's what you said there, that I think it's a mix of everything, to be honest. I think a lot of work has to go on a club level, to be quite honest with you. And the clubs have really built up over the years. Like, you know, and we go back to this, it swings and roundabouts and Termin at the top, and St. Eunice weren't at the top for long in the club scene. And Glenfinnan and Mavull have been the teams to watch, you know. But you've done low underage coming into the mix now. And I mean, that comes from like the experience of Tony Boylan there, and he's working with the young people and people that you know that command respect at club level as well. And you know, it's all voluntary work, and it's long, and it nights out, and it's commitment, and it's coming from that at club level. And I think then it's particularly important then when you go to county development that, you know, you're not playing at C or B level, that you're playing in the top tier level at underage. I think you have to get to that level. You know, you can win C championships, you can win B championship, but when you go into senior football, you're looking to be playing at the top levels, you know, intermediate and senior. And it's a huge step up if you're playing C championships at underage. So, you know, it's great to see Declan and the team and the minors there doing really, really well this year, and they're playing top tier championship football. And I think that's going to reap benefits down the line for the likes of, you know, like, you've seen players like Abigail Asoko coming out of the minor panel, like, and, you know, Ava Geller's in there this year. Katie Dowds has really made her mark at senior level as well. So, you know, and that's coming from the development at underage and the huge amount of time put in there. So it really is a mix of the clubs getting involved, and then, you know, you really have to trial these players. I think it's very important to open the whole thing up for as a trial basis and watch these players and go to the games if you're a manager and a keen manager and see players, and don't be afraid to take new players in later on in the panel as well, because you might have missed somebody earlier on and you have the chance to develop them as well. So I think it's good that way too. But yeah, it's certainly coming on at minor level, Bryn.
Yeah, brilliant. Mo, listen, lovely talk. We're always the enemy of the show is the time here. We're down to the last minute. Mo, you just mentioned High Flying Armagh. May 8th, 19th, massive break into that we're really up against it in opening round, are we?
Listen, I do believe so. Like, if you look at the reams of games there just in the past, the Ulster finals, like, you know, marginally, I mean, it's always been a battle with Armagh, but with Armagh playing in Division 1 this year, and with the panel of players that they have, they're very strong, you know, they're very good. But listen, you know, league football is very unpredictable, Brendan. We both know that. It's hard to call any game. I thought Donegal would have beaten Monaghan, but then again, they drew against them and so on and so forth. And I thought Armagh would have been better against Dublin the last day, but it's so unpredictable. So, yeah. You know, listen, and it's a championship final, and finals are always different. So, Brendan, look, we will hold the hope and that John McNulty's side will go out, a strong side out against Armagh. And again, it's an Ulster final, so there's a title there to one, and that makes it very, very different.
Perfect, Mo. Thanks, Amal. Listen, I'll be talking to you as the season goes on. Thanks for joining us this evening.
No problem. Super Brendan, chat to you soon.
Always good to chat to you, Mo, there. Folks, that's a wrap up the end of the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now on Highland Radio, Joe Dex is waving at me here. Time up. Jimmy and Paul are coming on. Jimmy and Paul. Paul wants to chat about Tyrone's 21-point defeat to Dublin, but he'll have to explain that when he gives it himself, folks. With the league finals next week, I'll be back. We'll round up all the action for you. I'll speak to you then.